Happy birthday, Clara.
We have another birthday on Wednesday.
She is a big 13. Whose birthday Wednesday? 14? 12? I had a birthday a couple weeks ago. I turned 74. 74. Somebody had the audacity to write on my card 104. One of my grandchilds making fun of their grandpa. Anyway, I want to thank the Lord for this morning. One that I woke up again. Yeah. Who said that? I needed that. Amen that I woke up, huh? Okay. You know, it's a tough week as I pondered over where to go today. We finished the book of Acts. Some of you were here to hear the ending. Some were not. That's okay. God knows what's going on in your life and what you need. Some days you need watermelon and other days you need lemons. But anyway, I don't think any of you can guess where I'm going to take you today. Try a couple guesses. Who's got some guesses?
Based on where your Bible's open, it's got
to
be Genesis.
He's good. There's another good one. You're not wrong. No. Old. We are going to go in the Old Testament today. I'm going to take a pause of a week or maybe two. It may take another week. I don't know. You may not want to hear any more after today. But when Jesus was on the earth, how did he teach? He taught in parables. And you know why he taught in parables? Everyone know what a parable is? You folks know what a parable is? Ah, it's a story. It's a story that portrays a truth. And he taught in parables. He didn't come right out and said, you're a sinner. So he talked about this people. And it portrayed the life of the Pharisees that was wrong. And why did he talk in parables? Well, Scripture tells us why. In fact, even Jesus himself tells us why. He says, when his disciples came to him, he says, why do you talk in parables? And he says, because it has been given to you to understand and to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to them it has not been given. Therefore, I speak to them in parables because seeing, they don't see. And hearing, they don't hear. Deliberate. There were people he did not want to understand what he was saying. Now, we've been studying God's Word together with me for 4, 5, 6, 7 years, something like that. I don't know. Yeah, a long time. Now, it's time to dig deeper. That's why I like that last song we sang. Deeper, deeper. We are going to have to dig deeper into the Scriptures. There's more to study in the Bible than just reading the words on the page, line by line. And then you say, oh, I read the Bible this morning. But you didn't understand what it said unless you dig deeper than the words. And I know I've said a lot, we've got to read between the lines. We've got to read underneath the lines. God's word is blessed with stories that illuminate, they light up the many aspects of Jesus Christ. And these stories, they're picture types, and they bring to the surface, because they're down deep, what God's trying to tell us. Types That's a short for picture types. And the precepts that they reveal are found all throughout the Bible. Old Testament, New Testament, everywhere. And they were put there to help us see the deep Bible truths that the non-believer can't see. And the non-believer doesn't understand. They are mainly there for the believers, like Jesus said, to meditate on and to see the deeper things of God revealed to us. Isaiah the prophet said in chapter 28 of his book, "For precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." So in other words, slowly as you dig with that shovel I told you to bring this morning, and you get below the surface of the page of the Bible, you slowly start to understand and see the truth that God intended for you to see. Now, it's a pretty hard concept in my mind today. There are Christians who do not understand that the church is the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. There's Christians that don't understand that. There are some that don't believe in a pre-trib rapture. And okay, it's not a salvation issue. But that's the view that is held by most evangelicals. I'm not here to persuade you one way or the other. Although that's my view. You all know that. I'm going to just present some picture types that are recorded in God's Word. And then you make your own mind up. Fair enough? Yeah, he says. See, I like that boy. Yeah. Most people only have a surface understanding of the Bible. And they haven't taken a serious look at all these picture types God's put in there. So we have to work diligently. We have to work at this. It just doesn't come. We have to work at it diligently. We have to study. Oh, no, I got to go back to school? You're already in school, right? I'm going to give you homework. We have to study the scriptures in the Bible. We have to study these picture types, not just read them, so that we can lay hold of the truths for ourselves. And we need to do this because our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said in John 5:39, he said, these, he's talking about the old scriptures and all the scriptures. He says, these are they which testify of me. So if we don't understand them, then we don't understand Jesus. All the scriptures speak of Christ. Old and new, all of them. So if all the scriptures speak of Christ, then surely the bride of Christ must be pictured in these scriptures. But how? How is she revealed? Through these picture types. These pictures were put here by the Holy Spirit. All scriptures inspired by the Holy Spirit. It's not by man. So that means the Holy Spirit put these picture types in the Bible. And if the Holy Spirit put them in the scriptures, then we can't just shut our eyes to them and ignore them. Now, as our days grow more wicked and wicked, nobody can afford to just be a surface Christian. I'm a Christian because my daddy was a Christian. No, not good enough. You have to be a Christian because you want to be a Christian. Not because your daddy's one or your grandpa. Because you want to know the Word of God. So we're going to look at a couple of pictures here. I wanted to write it all out in words, but I couldn't. And so the Spirit says, draw a picture. I said, I can't draw. I let my wife draw them. No, you. Okay, here we go. Joseph. We're going to look at Joseph first in the Old Testament. His a type of Christ, his whole life is. When we look at his life in the Old Testament, there are just too many comparisons in his life to have that a false statement. Here's the big one. Even the timing of his marriage is too significant to ignore. And we're going to look at that. Now, Joseph's life is somewhere around Genesis 37. I don't expect you to follow everywhere I'm going because I can't follow where I'm going either. But I'll speak out some scriptures. If you want to go to those particular verses, fine. Bible says that Joseph was a shepherd. Genesis 37:2. Christ is the good shepherd. Both Joseph and Christ were 30 years old when they started their ministry. I have scriptures for that if you want them later. Joseph was sent to his brethren by his father, was he not? To check on them. And he was rejected by them. Jesus, it says, came to his own, and his own received him not, it says. All right, another one. Joseph was sold by his brethren. Was not Jesus sold by his own disciple, Judas? Now, when I went through, I found 19 comparisons, Joseph and Christ. 19 of them. I only mentioned about 5. I didn't have time to print the whole list up, but if you want that list, I'll have it here next week. If you want that list, I know you do. I know you do. I don't know about anybody else. I'll print it up for next week because I haven't typed it. So give me a show of hands how many don't want it. Okay. No. How many would like to have it, and I'll have that many copies. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I'll print a dozen. Connor, thank you. I'll print a dozen up or so. So the life of Joseph clearly, as we see, parallels the life of Christ. So let's look at his marriage now. Marriage of Joseph. Because it shines a bright, bright light on the pre-tribulation rapture. Yes? Sold. Never raise your hand in an auction. It shines a bright light on this pre-tribulation rapture picture. After Joseph, we know he was thrown in prison. After he was exalted out of prison, and he came to the throne of Egypt now, he took Aseneth, a Gentile bride, while his brethren were still rejecting him. His brethren hadn't told their father what they did to their brother. Jesus will take his Gentile bride, the church, after he's resurrected and exalted to the throne next to his Father in heaven, still being rejected by his brethren, the Jews. They still reject him. Same parallel. After Joseph took his bride, that's when the famine hit. And his brethren came to him to get corn. After Jesus takes his bride, his brethren, the Jews, will come to him and accept him in the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, it's worded Jacob's trouble because it pertains to the Jews, the tribulation period. Now, Egypt, we know, is a picture of the world. The seven-year famine that Joseph prophesies through the dream of Pharaoh is a picture type of the seven-year tribulation that this world's going to go through. This picture type shows how Joseph got his bride before the tribulation of Egypt. Picture type as Christ will get his bride before the great tribulation on the present world. It's clear. There's a lot of different types all throughout Scripture. And they help us believers to know the true meaning of the good things of God. But we have to search for them. You don't find gold too often laying on the top of the ground. You just stoop down and pick it up. You have to dig for it. You have to hunt for it. You have to labor for it. And these truths in the Bible, they're not just laying on top of the page a lot of times. You have to dig. That's why I love that song she picked. You have to dig deeper. So it's important that we search through all the stories. We have to search through all the Jewish ceremonies or feasts so that we can know the deeper things that God wants us to know. You'd be amazed at what those feasts represent. Let's look at Isaac a little bit. Isaac, he is seen as a type of Christ. The birth of Isaac and the birth of Jesus, both of them were foretold ahead of time. Both of them were born because of a miracle. Sarah was old and barren. She couldn't bear children. She had a son. Go the other way. Mary, young, virgin. She couldn't be having children yet. She never knew a man, but she had Jesus Christ. You remember when Abraham went to offer Isaac? Isaac carried the wood that he was going to be sacrificed on. Just as Jesus carried his own cross to Calvary to be sacrificed on. If Isaac's life so closely parallels that of Christ, bear with me, then why wouldn't his marriage to Rebekah parallel in some way the marriage of Christ to his bride? So what was the role of Eliezer? You all know Eliezer? He was a servant of Abraham. Yeah. What was his role in this marriage? What does that, the story, the picture type, reveal about Christ and his bride? I mean, it's so clear. It's so beautiful. Eliezer is a picture type of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. He is sent by the father, Abraham, to get a bride for the son, Isaac, and to guide this bride back to him. The Holy Spirit today is serving the Father by guiding us on our path into the presence of our Isaac, Jesus. Eliezer's mission was to go to Haran, find a bride. And Scripture says, so he went to the city of Nahor. Abraham's brethren lived there. Because he said, don't get a bride of, get one of my family, he says. So he does. He goes there. And that's a picture of the Holy Spirit being sent to heaven to get that bride for Christ. Us. Because he talks to every one of you and me. But the next point is very important. The next point is Eliezer, he was not sent to get Isaac's bride until after Isaac was typically offered up on Mount Moriah. After that event, after he was brought up to be sacrificed, then he was sent to get the bride. The Holy Spirit wasn't sent to get us, the bride of Christ, for Christ, until after Christ's death and resurrection. Same thing, same picture. And who did Eliezer, who did he speak about? All the scripture about him, he only spoke of Isaac. He never talked about himself. So does the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit doesn't talk about himself. Who does he talk about? He always talks about Jesus Christ. When Eliezer got Rebecca's consent, she says, yes, I will go. He didn't send her. So, okay, go. Here's the address. Take off. And then he stayed with her kinsfolk. He went with her and remained with her till he brought her to her husband, the bridegroom. When we are ready, the church, the bride of Christ, to receive our bridegroom, the Holy Spirit will not leave us either. He will stay with us and take us all the way to heaven. Go over to 2 Thessalonians 2:7, and we read, oh, how did I find that so fast? Bookmark. 2:7. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains, that's the Holy Spirit, will do so until he is taken out of the way. When the church is raptured up, the Holy Spirit goes up with him. He will take us all the way to Christ. He won't let us go by ourselves. So now who's going to be on the earth to restrain the evil one? Nobody. Which is why the rise of the Antichrist will come up and be able to take over the earth. But let's look at Rebecca, the bride. A beautiful type of bride of Christ. As Rebecca was a virgin, so the church will be presented as an espoused virgin to Christ. 2 Corinthians 11. It says, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You're already there, I know. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. He's talking about the church here. We are going to be presented as a virgin to Christ. And by faith, Rebecca believed and yielded to the pleadings of Eliezer, which is a perfect picture of the church, how believers yield to the calling of the Holy Spirit. She was willing to separate herself from her family for her bridegroom, Isaac. That's a portrait of all Christians. How we must be willing to separate ourselves and forsake everything for our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. That's why I was talking about those trophies we have to lay down. That's what this scripture is talking about. We have to say, those are not worth anything anymore to me. I don't need that. I need Jesus more. Yeah, that's a $600 chainsaw. I love that chainsaw. No, give it up. Give it to Christ, and he'll give it back to you and let you use it. But you have to use it for him. It's like me and my woodworking ability. He's only given me that so that I can use it to glorify him. Her piano playing, it's not for me, although I love it. It's to glorify God on Sunday mornings and all week long when I hear it. Rebecca's family, when she left, they proclaimed to her, and they say this in Genesis 24:60, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. But there's also scripture that says the church will prevail over the gates of hell and bring thousands of millions of believers to Christ. Eliezer told faithful Rebecca now, on her journey to Isaac, all about him. That's all he spoke about. And so the Holy Spirit, on our faith-filled journey through this earth, reveals to us what is in store for all faithful when we meet our bridegroom. She was a Gentile bride. The church is a Gentile bride. I can't find anywhere in Scripture where it says Rebecca passed through tribulation as she went from her home to her bridegroom. So, I have to assume, picture type, the church will not go through tribulation going to our bridegroom. Now, I'm not saying we won't go through some problems, that we won't have some trouble, that we won't be persecuted by man. That is true. We will. And we're going to. And it's going to get worse, folks. But we will not go through the tribulation wrath of God. The 7-year tribulation period is the wrath of God, not the wrath of man. And we won't go through that. Ruth, by her faith, because she loved Naomi, followed along with her. And she proclaims as a Gentile. Now, Ruth is a Gentile bride. And she proclaims on the way, your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. It was that faith and that love that caught Boaz's eye. And Boaz married Ruth as her kinsman redeemer. You all know what kinsman redeemer is? Okay, just a little update in case someone doesn't. In Scripture, in the law, if a woman married, well, that's not the passage. If you lost your land because you owed too much and you had to sell yourself into slavery, you could have either pay it off, but if you never could, you could have a relationship of you, some kinsman, some relation, an uncle, could come forth with money and pay off your debt and redeem you. And so that's what Boaz did to Ruth. Her family left the place they lived at, and their land was put in debt. And so he paid the debt. But in paying the debt, he had to take Ruth. And so he did. He redeemed her.
That's so amazing.
It is.
What? So amazing.
It's beautiful.
It's right on.
Yeah. So Boaz marries Ruth as her kinsman redeemer, just as Christ responds to us. If we in faith are willing to give up all for the God of Israel, he redeems us. He is our kinsman redeemer. Ruth, a picture of the church, from the day of her conversion to Mary and Boaz, didn't go through any tribulation. In fact, she rode on this animal, donkey or camel, whatever it was, with all kinds of riches that Eliezer brought. And she was rewarded. She is only shown as her faith, serving, resting, and then she was rewarded. A perfect picture of all followers of Christ. The beauty of that whole picture is that there was no tribulation since she said, I believe. The God of love for his bride is pictured all throughout scriptures. And even the name Ruth means friendship or friend or friendly one. So these pictures that are here show the beauty of what's to come, and God wants to reveal that to us if we want to dig for it. Now, in the final kingdom, we are not servants and we're not subjects. The bride always reigns with the bridegroom. She is not, Ruth is not a subject in the kingdom, and neither is the church. The church will rule and reign with Christ. Revelation 20, verse 6. All right, you talked me into going there. I didn't put it down there, but I'll go there. Revelation, I like Revelation 20. You know, 20 is after the tribulation. Blessed and holy is he who has a part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they will be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So the church will be snatched up, just like Enoch was. Story of Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and one day he was, and one day he was not. He never died. So two people in the Bible that never died. Enoch and Elijah. And Enoch was raptured up. And he was taken up before the tribulation of the flood, which is a sign of the tribulation of the world later. So Christ is going to take his bride before the tribulation. Just like Enoch, just like Joseph took his bride before the 7-year famine. And as Isaac met his Gentile bride in the evening, Christ will take his bride in the evening of the day of grace. We are in the day of grace right now. And he will take his bride in the evening of the day of grace, right before the day of the Lord begins. And the day of the Lord in Scripture refers to the 7-year tribulation period. And to the world, it's going to be like a thief in the night. They're not going to expect it all of a sudden. Wham! Where did this come from? And that event, taking of the bride, is going to usher in the day of the Lord. The 7-year tribulation period. I'm going to pause there for 7 days. And maybe I'll continue next week. We'll see what the Spirit has. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for these picture types. The way that you have recorded your bride of Christ in the Old Testament, and the way that you have camouflaged them a little bit, so we have to dig and search like the Bereans did. Search those scriptures for the truths that are revealed in there. And so we pray for that yearning to know more of what you just gave us this morning. Just a tidbit. That we would look deeper and deeper and come to understand all the truths that you have for us. That we would be able to give up our trophies, Lord, and replace them with you as our Lord and Savior. And as we stumble through this week, Lord, with stones and potholes and hills and valleys, that you go before us and you straighten those roads out and you fill in those valleys and we keep our hand in yours so that even though some things aren't quite the way we'd like them to be, we have peace in you as long as we trust you. You say, take my yoke upon you, because my load is easy and light. So therefore, help us this week, Lord. Put a blessing on not only the snacks and the food here, put a blessing on every single person here that is searching the scriptures to know you better. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.